From Amerivet Securities, a service-disabled, veteran-owned broker-dealer in New York City, we bring you Compass Check, a podcast created by veterans for veterans. The military uses a compass to navigate air, land, and sea. Now, Compass Check is here to help you navigate your transition into the corporate workforce. Our goal is to reach military veterans and members of the veteran community, empower and connect them with a multitude of resources that will ultimately set them up for success after leaving the military. I'm your host, Army veteran James Fitzgerald. Let's get moving. Salesforce is a cloud-based software company that provides customer relationship management software and applications to their network of customers, companies, developers, and business partners. They develop a diverse infrastructure of software products designed to help teams from different industries, including marketing, sales, IT, commerce, and customer service, connect with their customers. Salesforce is headquartered in San Francisco, California, and has offices all around the country and the world to support over 55,000 employees. My guest today is David Nava, Principal Solutions Engineer at Salesforce. Here's our conversation. After a much-needed summer break, I'm back in the saddle with another episode of the Compass Check podcast. All you need to know about today's guest is the force is strong with this one. No, not that force. I'm talking about Salesforce. One of the leading software and technology companies in the world is today's guest to talk about all the opportunities that are available to you as transitioning service members and your family as you move out of the armed forces and into the corporate workforce. Who I have with me today is David Nava, one of the principal solution engineers for Salesforce. He's also a Navy veteran. So we're going to get to hear all about his transition story out of the Navy and into Salesforce, but also he's going to be here to detail all the opportunities that are available to you. So without further ado, what I'd like to do is welcome David onto the Compass Check podcast. David, it's an absolute pleasure.
Hey, thanks, James. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listening audience. Thanks so much for having me.
It is our complete honor. And so we don't waste a single second. We're going to jump right into things. And for my listening and viewing audience, I'm sure at some point in their existence, they've heard of Salesforce. Tell us, though, in your own words, who is Salesforce?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if you've heard of Salesforce, you have one leg up on me when I was transitioning because I had no idea what Salesforce was. Essentially, despite its name, we do more than provide sales tools for folks. So at our core, we are a cloud-based software as a service company that enables any organization to very rapidly build no-code and low-code applications to suit a wide range of use cases. So really, if you have a process at your organization and you need to enter information, manage that information, automate that, and pull it into a dashboard to analyze it, we can help you create those applications very, very rapidly.
One of the things for me that I'm proud to say is I've had a direct experience with Salesforce in my professional background. It was my main tool to reach out to my customer base and keep that relationship going. So I knew when the last time that I contacted them was, what that conversation entailed, and what I need to do moving forward in order to continuously cultivate that relationship. So for me, that's my experience, but I know that there's a lot more that Salesforce does day to day. So I'm glad to have you here with me to talk about some of those additional seams and gaps that maybe we're not as familiar with. I'm an old infantry guy, so my knowledge of some of the new technologies that we're dealing with is very, very limited. So I'm always glad to have my sister services like the Navy here to supply me with awesome individuals like yourself that can break it down for me and help me understand exactly what a principal solution engineer does. So I'd like to jump into that if you don't mind. You have an illustrious career in the Navy. I'd love to hear a little bit more about it, but also how you got from point A to point B, leaving the military and transitioning into your corporate workforce life now at Salesforce.
Yeah, thanks for the questions, James. And so to understand really how I fit at Salesforce, you kind of have to go back to Salesforce's beginning and walk it forward. And obviously, you know, we've been around for 20 plus years. We were founded in 1999, so we don't have time during the course of the call to explain everything. But it's helpful to know that, you know, we were founded in 1999 by Mark Benioff, Parker Harris, and the rest of the original founders in San Francisco as a CRM company, so customer relationship management. And essentially what that is it allows sales folks, like you mentioned earlier, to keep data on their customers, preferences, buying habits, opportunities, so that they can have all the information in a single unified interface to be able to make sales decisions, right? And over the course of 20 plus years, we have added on additional products, of course, and additional clouds. So while we started with Sales Cloud, which was that the sales functionalities, we added Service Cloud, we've added Marketing Cloud, we have added a wide range of other clouds, Energy Cloud, Automotive Cloud, you know, Nonprofit Cloud, Education Cloud, the list goes on and on and on, essentially tailoring our unique suite of tools to pretty much every business use case out there. And so where I come into the picture is I served for 20 years in the Navy. I was a naval flight officer for EA-6B aircraft. And if you know anything about NFOs for prowlers, which is what I was, you'll know that there's not a whole lot of job opportunities that align with what they do in the military. And I was in charge of jamming enemy radars and communications, and it's generally discouraged in the civilian world. So, yeah, not it, you know, it's illegal, in fact. So I had to figure out what else I wanted to do with my life post-military. And so, you know, when I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, what have I done at a macro level for the past 20 years? Well, I've essentially managed projects and programs of an aviation theme. So why don't I just become a project or program manager? And so with that idea in mind, I proceeded down that path. And 5 years prior to the date that I anticipated getting out is when I started. And so I spent the next 4 years preparing for that eventuality. I got my MBA, I got my project management professional or PMP, I got a Lean Six Sigma black belt from Villanova, certified Scrum Master, and I joined a bunch of groups and started attending meetings. And over the course of years, really developed quite a impressive future resume for the value that I hope to provide customers.
Absolutely.
The problem was when I started contacting recruiters about a year prior to transitioning. They were like, okay, that's awesome, David. I can see from your LinkedIn profile and your resume that you've got all these credentials. You've got obviously that industry experience in the military. And we see that you have managed, you know, programs and projects across millions of dollars for numerous people, right, in groups. What do you want to do when you transition from the military? What company do you want to work for? What industry do you want to work in as a project manager? What level? So they began asking me the questions that you would probably expect to get asked, and I didn't have answers. I was a Navy brat, so I'm actually fourth generation Navy, and that's all I had ever done. You know, we went to Navy grocery stores, went to Navy department stores, lived on base, and I continued that into my adult years as I completed a 20-year career in the Navy. And so I had no concept of what civilian employment looked like. And I couldn't answer those questions. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go and really do a deep dive in myself and try to discover why I want to be project manager, program manager, and then begin to answer those recruiting questions so that I can get placed and I can help them help me. And leveraged a couple of resources, a couple of books, did some networking. And lo and behold, I found out that I don't want to be a program or a project manager.
Okay.
And nothing against that. It's a phenomenal career path. But I had been doing it for 20 years. I was kind of tired of it. I wanted to do something new. I just had no idea what that new thing would be. And so this is where Salesforce enters the picture. My LinkedIn profile and my LinkedIn network was an absolute disaster. If you had looked at it in the day, you would see that I was connecting with anyone and everyone across multiple industries that held any thread of hope for something that I'd be interested in. And you'll know that if you're active on LinkedIn, which you should be, your network is your net worth, right? What you pull into your feed through the connections that you've made determines what you see and therefore your opportunities. And I was pulling in a lot of confusing, conflicting information. So first thing I did was delete my profile completely. I got rid of it. And then I created it again. Yeah, and this is 5 years of, you know, actually 4 years of work at the time. Well, more than that, because I had started before then. I got rid of it. And I started fresh. And before I started, you know, adding connections or really building that network, I joined a couple groups and I began to listen. And the Veteran Mentor Network, which is still around, I joined that group. And one of my connections said, hey, you should look at Salesforce. And my initial reaction is the same reaction that a lot of folks have, especially from the military, when they hear about Salesforce, like, I don't want to sell anything, right? I don't want to be in some high pressure sales job where I have to convince people to buy things that they may or may not, you know, want. But it wasn't that at all. And so my connection kindly pointed out that, yeah, Salesforce has a sales staff, sure. All software companies do if they want to sell their product. But it's a lot more than that. There's a tremendous amount of resources, free resources, that you have at your disposal to upskill and to get started. And the free word, really, that's what triggered me, because I love free stuff. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of courses out there and plenty of companies that offer courses that cost money. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it later. I was a single dad at the time, so I had a budget and I was supporting two children by myself on a single paycheck. And I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money upskilling in an area that I may or may not be interested in, right? There's risk there. So free resources were great. I jumped on those free resources, which we can talk about, and I learned about Salesforce. And I learned about Salesforce's military support and enabling an upskilling program called Salesforce Military that provided those tools and resources to help me create that new professional path. And so that's how I got introduced to Salesforce. And then I began to use those resources. And ultimately, I found that it was a great fit. But I want to pause there just to see if you have any follow-on questions before I, because I can talk to you for hours, James. But I want to make sure it's focused on what you want to talk about.
I have tons of questions. Number one, I'm shocked because I think you're the first guest that I've had that has explained that they started their transition process so far in advance. 5 years is a long time. So there's so much that I would love to unpack inside of that. But let me move to the benefit of my listening and viewing audience. Was there any advice that you received as you were transitioning that helped you along the way that you can share with us?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the number one thing that I would offer folks is start early. You don't have to start 5 years early. I'm an extreme case. I'm a planner. That's what I do. I plan. And so even though I didn't become a project manager, I still have that love of checklists and of setting up a plan and then executing steps. I mean, who in the military doesn't love that? So that I would say start at least 2 years early. And you don't necessarily have to start looking for jobs, but start building your network. You cannot rush relationships, and you can't build relationships in a vacuum. You can't say, hurry up and get to know me and like me so that I can leverage you for information and support. It doesn't work that way. So you have to incrementally drops in a bucket that over time builds up, and then you have this bank account of interactions that you can pull back from, right? It's like a bank account of you put stuff in, and then at some point you can take it out, but you can't take it out if you don't put it in, right? The bank frowns on that. So spend those 2 years putting things in, and those things are interactions to connect with people, to chat with them, to meet with them, and to build that professional network. I would say what you want to do, and not like hypothetically, like I did, make that mistake where you're like, oh, I think I want to do this, and I'll proceed down this path ad nauseum, and then, oops, I'm wrong, and I've just spent, you know, thousands of dollars on education and thousands of hours of time preparing for something that I really wasn't going to do. Now, I used that stuff, that stuff, the project management stuff in my current career, but I could have better used that time. So I would say research what you want to do in a couple different ways. One, if you've ever heard of the book, What Color is Your Parachute? It's popular in the military, comes out every year. Look it up. It enables you to do a deep dive on yourself to figure out what resonates with you and what matters. And from that, you should have a pretty good understanding of where you should start to begin your research and your preparation. And so you're reading the book, you're figuring out what you want to do. And then once you have that core idea, then begin to connect through LinkedIn primarily, which is the number one networking tool in the world, and connect with folks in that industry. And not just the folks that are doing the job that you want, of course, connect with them, but connect with their managers, connect with their managers' managers, connect with recruiters and hiring managers. Because not only do you want to connect with the folks that can talk to you about the job, you want to connect with the people that are their bosses that may be hiring you for that job in the future, and the recruiters and the hiring managers. So build that network. And it goes without saying, or it should go without saying, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, you should create one today. And don't put, if you're a few years out, it's okay to put your military photo on there, it's fine. But as you begin to get in that transitioning mode, I would say 2 years out or so, pull your military photo off and dress according to the job that you're looking for.
Absolutely. Right?
So for me, I'm in tech. I don't need to be in a business suit to appeal to the broader recruiting audience. We're fairly semi-formal. So I can do a blazer and a button up with the top button undone, no tie, and I'm fine. Now, if you look at my LinkedIn profile, I'm in a hoodie and a t-shirt, right? Because I'm branded for my company. But dress for the part and then begin to go through your LinkedIn profile and identify areas where a recruiter who has no knowledge of the military may get confused or tripped up. So if you're a company commander of this, or you're, military slang jargon of this, pull it out, civilianize it, get someone who, maybe someone who doesn't have a background in the military to look through it and help you out with that. And translate your skills and your language so that it's going to make sense for whoever's going to be looking at your LinkedIn profile so they're not lost. That's a common mistake that I see folks make. And then obviously, as you begin to figure out what you want to do, and now you've brought in your networking, and you're creating this profile, and you're creating this network of individuals, begin to reach out to them and say, hey, listen, Bob, Janet, can I get 15 minutes of your time to talk about what you do at Company X? It's fascinating to me. I would love to hear, what you do, your challenges, how you got into it. And these are, these are known as, of course, informational interviews. And the key is to have as many as you need. So if you have no idea what you want to do, get started early and have a lot of them. If you have a pretty good idea, well, still have a lot of them, but they're more focused now because you know where to steer those. And even if you know exactly what you want to do, again, have a lot of them, because you need to know the people that are doing those jobs at the companies that you're interested in so that you can ask for employee referrals. Mm-hmm. And so that when you meet their boss in a interview, it's not for the first time, right? You've already talked to them. They know you. They recognize your face. It's almost like cheating, right? Because if you're doing it right, you should know at least one person on your hiring panel, if not more than one. And then it becomes, you have that inside edge, and it becomes more of a informal chat and a conversation than it is a, this painful, uncomfortable interview process. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put a pin in this LinkedIn discussion, because I definitely want to touch base on that very point later on in this episode. But I do want to connect some of the dots, because for me, I'm not as tech savvy as I need to be in today's modern age, but just giving our listening and viewing audience an idea of what a principal solutions engineer is for Salesforce, but also how that integrates into that transition process you were talking about earlier, not wanting to be the project manager. How did this appeal to you in a way that drew you in?
Yeah. So let me answer the appeal to me first, and then I'll talk about what a principal SE does. And that necessitates kind of a longer discussion about a bit more about what Salesforce is. Because if you've been listening and you don't know what Salesforce is, you probably still don't know what Salesforce is. So a bit more explanation, I think, is called for. So what appealed to me was, at my core, I am a process-centric individual who loves to fix, build, tweak processes, which is ironic because I didn't go into project management, but I still get to do a lot of that in my job. So that's one piece. Two, I love to problem solve. Problem, and I will solve it for you. It gets me in trouble sometimes with my wife, who just wants to talk and not actually have me solve her problem, and I have to understand that. Because I'm in solve mode all the time. But that appealed to me because, that's what Salesforce does. Salesforce is a software as a service suite of tools to solve business challenges. And so that appealed. And then lastly, and I didn't know this initially, I am intensely creative. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, hey, are you a creative guy? I would have said, no, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Because I don't do well at decorating or coming up with, you know, necessarily creative things in most contexts. But in this context, I'm crazy creative when it comes to problem solving. And so Salesforce gave me a lens to apply this unknown creative ability to solve problems in a variety of different ways, which I loved. And so as soon as I availed myself of some of these resources and learned what Salesforce was, I was all in. Like I let go all the other leads I had. I put 100% of my time into this and I focused on it solely until I achieved what I set out to achieve. And so as a principal solution engineer, it's important to understand a bit more about Salesforce. So Salesforce is obviously a company, right, of, you know, anywhere from 50 to 60,000 folks that all work to provide this platform, this capability to our customers. But we are way more than a simple company. So, you know, we're hiring right now, and I'm going to make it like a broad guess. Like I'm going to say we're hiring maybe, I don't know, 15,000 people. It's a made up number, but something to throw at a wall, right? But the true employability of a Salesforce qualified professional is dwarfed by that figure. So Salesforce is much bigger than Salesforce the company. We have an ecosystem. And there's a couple entities in that ecosystem that I want to talk briefly about, and that will kind of bring into focus what I do in my job. So obviously, Salesforce came up with the product, right? And we sell the product through a relatively small professional services arm. But we also have partners and customers. And so we sell our solutions to customers. Customers like, you know, Amazon, Dell, most of the Fortune 500 companies. There's 150,000 customers in our customer Rolodex that we sell to, and it's growing every day. And if you think about it, when you implement Salesforce, you have to have people at your company to run Salesforce, create reports, fix things, create new functions, create new apps. That's jobs, right? So of those 150,000 customers, they more than likely have need of one or many Salesforce qualified professionals. And so right now you've just magnified the number of jobs in the ecosystem. Well, there's a separate order of magnitude when you think about our partners. So one of the things that we do is, because we focus a lot of our time on selling and a little bit of our time on implementing, we have partners that will implement Salesforce for us. And there's thousands of partners out there that once we sell, you know, licenses to a customer company, we then transfer those over to the partner and they will build the implementation for us. They're called system integrators or SIs. And you can think of companies like PwC, Deloitte, BAH as some of the bigger ones, but there's thousands of them. And so each one of those companies has some cases, a few, some cases, hundreds and hundreds of employees that are Salesforce qualified professionals. So that's another order of magnitude, but there's more. We also have an app exchange. So if you're familiar with Apple's App Store, we have Salesforce's AppExchange, which is a online marketplace for all of the applications that natively integrate with Salesforce that are developed by other companies. So think of like DocuSign, right? Wouldn't it be great if Salesforce could like natively integrate with DocuSign to be able to bring document routing, authorization, signature into Salesforce? Well, that exists, right? That's it, what's known as an ISV, an individual software vendor. And there are hundreds of those that produce components that plug and play in our platform, all the way to full feature apps that are industry focused, that are pre-built solutions that save time to build and time to value. And so there are hundreds of companies that do that. And so when you get a picture of that, it becomes much more than, you know, maybe the thousands of folks that we're hiring at Salesforce the company, to the millions of jobs over the course of the next few years that are going to become available in our ecosystem. So in that macrocosm, there's this guy. And I used to work for an SI. So I used to build implementations. That was my first job out of the military. And I worked for a partner company for a year. And it was lovely. I loved it. Best way to learn. And then Salesforce picked me up and I worked implementing for them in professional services for almost a year. And then I got pulled into pre-sales, which is my current job and the love of my professional life. So what I do as a solution engineer is before the product is sold, I meet with prospects and existing customers because we want to sell them more of our goodness. And I get them excited about what we can do for them as a platform to solve their business challenges in a variety of different ways. And one of the big ways that we do that is by giving demos. So I'll meet with a customer, I'll do discovery, I'll figure out what's bugging them about their current processes. I will build them a custom demo and I'll show it to them. It's like show and tell every single day. It's awesome. And they get pumped, they get excited, I get excited. And then hopefully if they're excited enough, they buy it. And it goes to, the contract closes, it goes to post sales. And then either our professional services team or an SI will implement for that solution.
So I listened to each and every single word that you just said, but two words that really stuck out in my mind that you had said previously was, we're hiring. So I definitely want to start walking down that line of conversation to talk about the inner workings of Salesforce Military, but also what does it look like for a veteran to onboard at Salesforce? What is that work environment like? What are some of the resources that are available inside of the organization, such as employee resource groups, additional benefits along those lines? So I definitely want to move internal to Salesforce and talk about what does that hiring process look like and what would an eligible veteran look like to Salesforce?
Yeah, let's do it. So before we get into all that, I want to address the elephant in the room. Elephants. If you have been watching the news, you'll notice that the tech has experienced a downturn and there's just been this great layoff, right? And I'm relatively new to tech. I've been in it for 5 years. So it was news to me. It was also news to me that this happens pretty much frequently. You know, it's an ebb and flow mm-hmm. in any industry, especially tech. And so you'll see in the news that big companies like Twitter and Meta have laid off a bunch of folks. And Salesforce is no exception. Right, we did lay off a percentage of our workforce, but I don't want that to make anyone afraid or hesitant to look into opportunities for employment. I'm happy to report, and I can't get into specifics, but we are in the process of now reversing that trend and bringing folks back into the Salesforce ecosystem, and so we're going to see a resurgence in hiring as we've kind of restructured our business. So that's great news. And so to talk about the resources that we provide means that I need to back up about 10 years to 2014. And so I think most folks on the call have heard of General Colin Powell. And if you haven't, then you are really young and you need to go look this gentleman up. So when he was with us, may he rest in peace, he was on our board of directors. And he was a close personal friend and mentor to our CEO, Mark Benioff. And he approached Mark at one point in 2014 and said, "Hey, Mark," and I'm paraphrasing here, I wasn't there. It would be great if we could encourage transitioning service members and vets and spouses to move to careers in tech, but also provide them with tools and resources to support that transition. How can we do that at Salesforce? And my boss, Mark Benioff, Mr. Benioff, took that very seriously. And so they set to work and they created what was then known as VetForce. So your joke, the force is with him early on, is a pun often used in the ecosystem, which is why I was smiling. And my Twitter handle is NavaForce. So you're not far off.
Oh, nice.
It was created in 2014. And what it is, what it was, because gosh, it's grown so much. What it is and was is free enablement resources for not only transitioning service members, but veterans, as well as their spouses. And this includes National Guard and Reserve, and it also includes allied nations to include UK, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, to provide them with a series of tiered resources that I like to put into bins. Now, when it first came out, it was primarily education and training focused, and now it has grown dramatically. And so I'll break those down into their respective bins. So for the listening audience that is military, you'll know that there are certain things you need to transition. And if you're not military, those things are the same things, right? They don't change. If you want to shift dramatically from one career space to the other, you have to have education and training, right? You have to know how to do the job. You have to have work experience. So you have to have a proven record of trend of taking that hypothetical knowledge and converting it into solutions to real life problems for a company. You got to have work experience. And of course, that begets the whole chicken or egg where how can you get work experience if no one will hire you without work experience? Stay tuned. There's answers to that. But that's another bin they provide. And there's four bins, by the way. The next bin is branding, right? So you can have all of the education and training and all of the work experience in the world. If no one knows about it, how can they hire you? Right? So if you're in your success cave and you're not telling people about it, no one is going to be able to offer you jobs. So you have to brand. Always be branding. And the final piece is mentorship. And I could talk to you an hour about each of these topics, but I'm going to keep it brief. So how does Salesforce Military, which is what it became to be known, so from that force to Salesforce Military, which is its own department at Salesforce, fully staffed and nice. trained to help folks out. So in the education and training piece, Salesforce Military offers 19 certification paths. What does that mean? So have a 100% free online learning and training platform called Trailhead. And if you're curious about what Trailhead is, just Google Trailhead, one word, comma Salesforce, one word, and you'll be able to bring it up. And it is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guided, gamified, content-driven learning experiences to teach you Salesforce, whether you're a business user, a highly, highly skilled developer, or like me, a declarative developer who does not code solutions, but I use Qlik. And so that's Trailhead's free to everybody in the world, right? Salesforce Military is only free to the military community, like I mentioned, but it integrates with Trailhead and it provides you with these guided learning journeys across those 19 paths. And so you join the site and you verify your identity through ID.me to verify your military affiliation. And then you pick a path and it could be, system administrator, it could be developer, it could be marketer, what have you. There's a bunch out there. And then it gives you these guided learning journeys that are pulled from Trailhead. And once you complete them by completing all the modules in that journey, which you can do on your phone, on your computer, in your free time, I did during my transition, it will say, okay, you've completed this learning journey. Would you like to take a course? It's optional. And if you want to take the course, it is a 5-day fully immersive, 8-hour professionally led virtual or on-site course that aligns with your path. And that value is anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000. They are not cheap, but they're all free to the we call them military trailblazers, right? So people that are within the Salesforce military program, it's free to you. Huge, huge value, tens of thousands of dollars there of value. And so you can take the course or not. If you waive it or if you complete it, then it triggers another milestone and says, okay, would you like to take the exam? Here's a free voucher. And again, that's 19 free vouchers. These certifications cost anywhere from $200 to $400. So again, that's thousands of dollars over the course of how many certifications you get. And it completely solves the education and training piece. So I have 18 certifications. All of those are free on this platform. So I didn't pay for anything.
I mean, that's a slight flex. I just want to say it's a slight flex to do 18 out of the 19. So, I'm extremely impressed by this, but I do just want to emphasize to the audience something that we had said earlier. Me and David both love the price of free. So everything that he's describing right now is absolutely free to the military and veteran community. So please, we're going to continuously emphasize this, but we have to take advantage of these resources that are out there. They're out there for us, and they're worthless unless you tap into them and actually utilize them to your benefit. Continue on, David. This is just something that I continuously want to underscore to the listening and viewing audience.
Great stuff. And I want to piggyback on one thing you said, because if you're out there and you're like, well, I don't want to dive in and spend all this time if I don't know if it's right for me. And that was my concern, right? You have limited time. There's tons of resources out there across multiple different companies and agencies. There's a lot of folks willing to help the military. Why should you choose Salesforce? So do this. Go on Trailhead. Again, it's Google search Trailhead, Salesforce. Create a free account. Take you a couple minutes. And look up, you know, type in the global search, you know, what is Salesforce? Look up a couple of these modules and just spend half an hour. Do one or two, right? And see if it resonates. If it resonates, do a couple more. And if you're like, okay, this could be a fit for me, register for Salesforce Military, and James will have the links for you, and then dive in, right? So let me move on to the work experience piece, because again, education and training is kind of worthless unless you can get a job with it, right? So there are multiple vehicles that Salesforce Military puts at your disposal to be able to convert that education and training into real life work experience. There is a Hiring Our Heroes Salesforce Fellowship that is open to transitioning service members and spouses. And it's open through service members through the DoD SkillBridge program, and then spouses through Hiring Our Heroes partnership. And what that does is it connects you with a partner in the ecosystem for a 12-week, if you're a spouse, paid, if you're a service member, it's unpaid because it's through DoD SkillBridge, internship, where you get hands-on experience. And then they have the option at the end, it's not mandatory, obviously, they have the option to hire you. I will say there's an over 90% hiring rate, and the starting salary is over 90K. It's upwards of that. So it's a tremendous opportunity. There's been numerous cohorts that have taken place. And having said that, there's lots of folks you can reach out to ask about their experience, and happy to connect anyone that's interested with those folks. There's also, and this is a piece that will apply to not only service members that are transitioning and spouses, but also veterans, right? Because the fellowship is only open to transitioning service members and spouses, not the veterans. But veterans, as well as those groups, can take place of what's called the Hiring Alliance. So Salesforce has gone out to 500 companies, more than 500, frankly. And a lot of these are big name companies, and some are smaller boutique firms, depending on where you want to work. And they have reached an agreement where those companies will give you a first round interview once you earn your first certification through our program. So if you earn your admin, your developer, or one of those other staple certifications, you then have a foot in the door at any one of these 500 companies. You get the interview, you build rapport, and hopefully you get hired, right? There's also an exclusive LinkedIn group that if you're an alum of the program that you can join, and you will get access to interactions with all these companies. And so to give you kind of a metric, over 1,000 companies have hired Salesforce qualified professionals from amongst the Salesforce Military alumni. So huge, huge resource. Moving on to brand, and I'll spend just 2 seconds here. It's tremendously important, but again, I could talk about brand forever. You have to share your accomplishments with folks, right? So there are in-person, virtual, social, and skill building events that Salesforce Military hosts or shares that you can meet folks in the ecosystem, meet employers, and begin to build your network. We also have, as part of this, as part of your membership, you have access to our community of fellow Salesforce Military folks, of military trailblazers. And there's over 65,000 military trailblazers in the community, and you can interact with them on a daily basis through the chat groups that we have on that site. And there's chat groups for getting hired, there's chat groups for volunteering, there's chat groups for technical support, all these things. And then 2 seconds on the mentorship, before I pause and take a sip of coffee and we move on to other questions. Salesforce has partnered with Veterati, which is a free online site that does mentor pairing, mentor and mentee pairing. And so there's tons of Salesforce professionals in the Veterati Rolodex that you can connect with for focused one-to-one 30 to 60 minute conversations to ask about what it's like to work in the Salesforce ecosystem. If you haven't heard of Veterati, V-E-T-E-R-A-T-I, Google it, you'll find it, sign up. Tremendous resource for those informational interviews. And then I'll just plug really quick my office hours. I won't go into detail because I think we're going to talk about it later. I also have an office hours where I invite you to come attend and learn about the ecosystem. But the whole point here is don't find one mentor. Cultivate relationships with many mentors, because each is going to add a unique perspective to your worldview, and they can each help you progress your career in different ways.
So we have discussed quite a bit. I want to give everyone a chance to breathe and absorb the information, but I also want to have an opportunity here for people to discover where to find more information about you. There's Salesforce.com. There's all the military group, or not all the military groups, all the additional groups that you had mentioned on LinkedIn, social media as a whole, looking into the Google search for the Trailhead programs. All of that are things that you need to take a breath and absorb to take in, because these are the resources that are available to you. And lastly, but definitely not least, the human resource that we all need. So what I'd like to do, David, if you don't mind, can people reach out to you directly via LinkedIn?
Yeah, 100%. Send me a connection request. It's helpful if you include a quick note. Hey, saw you on the podcast, Compass Check Podcast, would love to connect. And if you have questions, ask me questions in your initial message. Because if you just say, hey, want to connect, I'm going to say, awesome, connection approved. And then I'll go, you know, on about my business, unless you reach back out for questions. So just throw them in that initial message, and I'm happy to respond. If you're looking for, I've already told you how to find Trailhead. If you're looking for the Salesforce military site, just Google VetForce, so VetForce, comma Salesforce. It should pop to the top of your thread. It'll say Salesforce military. Click on that, do some searching around, take a look, and then it's pretty easy from there to find the link on that site to apply for the program and verify your affiliation through IDMe.
Perfect. This last segment, I want to circle back to some of the things that we were talking about at the beginning, which I think are under-discussed in the veteran community, which are the ways that we network and the ways that we brand. One of the things that you had mentioned earlier at length was your journey with LinkedIn, how you had cultivated this network, you completely started from scratch in order to build a profile that better reflected your professional goals and values. I want to explore just more about the LinkedIn space and how we can utilize that in our professional transition. You had mentioned you don't have to start years in advance, but I want to underscore the value of a tool like LinkedIn. When it came time for you to restart your LinkedIn profile, what were some of the key things that you were looking to accomplish? Whether it be how you described yourself, the people you were reaching out to, or the overall objective that you have with your profile. If you can just give us some highlights into that brand new start.
Yeah, I would love to. It's a great question. And I always like start my stories with other stories. So if you're on Amazon right now, look up the 2-hour job search, right? So that and What Color Is Your Parachute are going to be your best friends. Your goal as a transitioning service member, as a veteran, as a spouse, is not to fill out hundreds of job applications to hopefully get a handful of interviews and maybe that one job offer. That's awful. And that's not how we do things in this day and age. So discard that notion that that's how you should proceed. It's highly ineffectual. It's a waste of time, and you've got better things to do. The 2-hour job search is a structured approach for essentially figuring out where you want to work, building relationships at the companies where you want to work, and getting hired where you want to work. And so to explain how I chose to leverage LinkedIn, I will lead with the, I won't bury the lead, I'll lead with the end, right? So on the day I retired from the military, on that same day, walked into a 6-figure salary without having to apply at any companies, without filling out any job applications. Wow. And the only interviews I had were the companies that reached out to me to say, hey, we're interested. You want to go through the interview process? Sure. I had multiple offers, and all I had to do was haggle back and forth and choose one. So how did I get there? I did not know how to brand when I set out on my journey. They don't teach that in the military. In fact, they teach the opposite, OPSEC. Don't brand. Don't share what you're doing or where you're going because, you know, you can compromise, you know, unit safety. Valid, right? But at some point, you have to flip that switch and do so in a way that obviously doesn't compromise security of your unit or wherever you work. But there's ways to do that and still brand yourself. So you should focus really on 3 things. One, your profile. First thing people are going to see. That's your first impression. And specifically, you know, when you read a newspaper, you read above the fold initially. And if you like what you see, you read below the fold. That's how recruiters work. They're going to take a quick look at your profile. If they don't like what they see from your picture, background picture, description, company that you work at, that very first piece of LinkedIn, they're going to move on. And that is the piece that got me my job at Salesforce. And it's hard to get employed at Salesforce, but that's what got me there. So work on your profile. you know, have a profile picture that speaks to the job that you want to occupy, like we talked about before. Have a background, that background banner that speaks to that as well. Make it, you know, distinct, unique, creative, draws the eye in. Have your educational institution in there. Have a tagline under your name, right? That speaks to what you want to do, what you're doing about it to get there. Throw in some colorful emojis if you like. And I would say pattern your profile off of the other folks that currently are in the positions you want to be in and are successful. That's what I did. I looked at the most successful people in the ecosystem, and that's how I built my profile. So profile. Two, network. As I mentioned, set up a habit pattern where you connect with, you know, 5 to 10 people every single day in the area that you're interested in. So if you're interested in Salesforce and you're interested, say, in Salesforce consulting, connect with developers, connect with consultants, connect with business analysts, connect with their managers' managers, recruiters, hiring managers, recruiting firms, companies, follow the companies, and build that network over time. It takes a lot of time. And then the third piece, that's 1, 2, profile and network. What ties it all together is content creation. You have to create content. Because I'll tell you something, if you connect with me on LinkedIn and you don't respond, or we have an initial conversation and you don't, you know, pop back into my feed, I'm going to forget about you, honestly, and no offense to you, I'm going to forget about you in a couple days. Because I've got, you know, thousands of followers. The only people I can really keep in my brain, because I'm not like a rocket wizard, is maybe a couple hundred. And so how do you stay in front of people? How do you get constantly brought to their attention? You create content. You share that content on LinkedIn. And we can get into a whole long conversation about how to do that. I will say, go to my YouTube channel. I have lots and lots of videos of how to create that content. But what that does, when you create you know, valuable content, people are going to see that. The people that you've connected with, it's going to pop into their feed. And it will make those informational interviews easier to acquire because they'll already know you from your content. When you reach out for jobs or jobs reach out to you, as happened to me, they are going to be familiar with you because they recognize that you're adding value to the professional community by creating content that people are consuming, right? So create that content. That's what I did. Over time, I built my network. I constantly was working on my profile every single day. Now it's more like every single week because it's pretty solidified. But even now, I work on it every single week. Right? If your profile is out of date, you're doing it wrong. And then create content on a weekly basis. I have slowed that down a bit. So I have folks that create content for me that are my volunteers. And I also repost a lot of what others create. I'll only create a little bit of original content. But if you're just starting out, you want to create a ton of original content. And that can be as simple as asking questions. But to give you an indication, over the course of the 12 months that I first discovered Salesforce and then got hired, I was building my network, working on my profile, and posting not every day, but every other day, sure, every single week. I scheduled my content, so I knew, like, on this day I'm going to put something out. I thought about it beforehand, and I would put it out. And it's not enough just to put it out into the the space. You have to also interact with the people that respond. Mm-hmm. So if you get 4 people that respond and say, awesome, respond back to them with a personalized message. And then also like their response. And what that does is it encourages them to continue to respond and others to respond. You know, people are more likely to respond to you if you are reaching back out to them to thank them for their response and providing a thoughtful comment. So over the course of that 12 months, when I first started, my posts had, you know, a handful of likes, a handful of reactions, a handful of impressions, right? At the end, where I had been leading these folks down this path of my journey and kind of explaining where I was at each stage, indicating, you know, the end result that I was hoping for. So they became vested in that story that I was telling, followed me, and they wanted to see how it ended. And it ended on July 1st, 2019. And really it began again, right? But one end is a new beginning. It ended with that transition date. And on that day, I shared that I had been hired at a company and was starting out as a solution consultant. That post had over 100,000 views. Wow. So in the span of less than 12 months, I went from maybe 10, 20 views to 100,000. And obviously, it's not 100,000 for every post. That's an exception, right? Majority of my posts these days are, you know, a few thousand. But still, it speaks to the value of storytelling, and it speaks to the value of branding. Because I had built this following up, I didn't have to go out and apply for jobs. People knew when I was getting out. I'd been sharing it for the past year. And I didn't need to share what I wanted to do or the spaces I was interested in because I had connected with those companies, already had those conversations, and they knew when I was going to be getting out of the military, and they reached out to me to see if I was interested. So that is my advice to you for leveraging LinkedIn as a tool to enable your future professional path. You have to use it. You have to.
I'm so glad that we were able to get those tips and tricks of how to maximize LinkedIn. What I'm going to do to close us out is to, and this is not my normal habit, but I'm going to plug one of the great shows that you had mentioned earlier, which you also happen to be the host of, which is the Military Trailblazer Office Hours. And I want to say it's available on YouTube. Is it available on any other platforms as well?
So it's available to join live. We do it twice a month, and I can share how to find that and register.
Absolutely. We definitely want to have as many ways for our listening and viewing audience to connect with you, but also to get as much in their arsenal as they possibly can as they transition out of the military and move into the corporate workforce. So yeah. With that, I think that is going to bring us to the end of today's trail. It has been such a delight to have you with us. I cannot wait to hear the feedback from today's conversation because you gave us a lot to work on and a lot to action on. So for us, at the end of the day, I want to say thank you. And I say that on behalf of my listening and viewing audience as they get ready to transition out of the military into the corporate workforce. I think that they're much more up armored because of the information that you provided today, David.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm going to close out today's episode. I've been your host, Army veteran James Fitzgerald. This has been another episode of the Compass Check Podcast. I will see you next time.
This has been another episode of the Compass Check Podcast, brought to you by AmeriVet Securities. I've been your host, Army veteran James Fitzgerald. If you or your organization would like to be featured on a future episode of Compass Check, please send an email to james.fitzgerald@amerivetsecurities.com. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.